This is Trackside with Kurt Cavan and Kevin Lee.
Auto racing in America, a dynamic mix of technology, competition, and history. This year marks the beginning of the second century of American racing. The sport has always been immensely popular. The Vanderbilt Cup races in New York at the turn of the century drew gigantic crowds. As the new sport evolved, heroes emerged. The drivers, the human element inside the cockpits, the men who piloted the machine. 1911, a new racing facility in Indianapolis staged the ultimate test of man and technology, a 500-mile race. An automobile engineer for the Marmon Corporation, Ray Haroon, won the race in his company's car and was an instant hero to the large crowd. The Indianapolis 500 rapidly grew to become the premier event in American auto racing. The speeds increased. Enormous crowds came to see thrilling competition amongst drivers who grew to legendary status. A race driver's career, then as now, would be defined by his performance at Indianapolis. Has been defined by the skill of the driver.
Over the roar of the engine, you can hear the 400,000 people going hoarse. No one has ever seen this before in Indianapolis. Not quite over, John Buck still with the lead. There you see them. Can he make a move at the finish? He's making a move. No! No! Not quite. Horse John has won the Indianapolis 500. He won it by less than a car length.
The cheers are for those who accept the danger with daring, those who strive for the ultimate victory.
Capaldi comes inside, Little Al. A drag race on the backside again. Slower traffic moves to the right. Can Fittipaldi get past? Little Al brings it down low. They touch. Little Al under the wall. Fittipaldi continues on. Little Al slams the wall as Emerson Fittipaldi screams toward the white flag.
Unser and Fittipaldi struggled again last Sunday and fell short. Both failed to qualify for today's race, leaving this event a wide-open competition. An antique silver cup carries the name and likeness of the great Indy champion. Two men in particular have come so close to their dream, but have yet to win the great race.
They make the turn for home now.
Goodyear finished second in that race, but today he starts on the front row with his best chance to add his name to the list of champions.
The green flag is back out, and Rick Mears comes around John Andretti. He's no factor whatsoever, but Michael is right there with him. Michael, moving to the outside. Can he keep in the high groove? He did it in Phoenix. Can he do it here? Michael Andretti takes the lead away from Rick Mears.
But it was Rick who won that thrilling duel in 91. Now more than ever, Michael Andretti, whose famous father Mario won the race only once, would like to carve his own name on the Silver Cup. Ari Leyendijk has already won here. He and teammate Scott Brayton are the two fastest qualifiers with the most powerful car. If they prove reliable, they may be unbeatable. 100 years ago, America's first ever automobile race. The spectators followed the two racing cars on foot. Today, 33 drivers will pilot their race cars at speeds over 240 miles an hour in front of 500,000 people. A new face and name will be added to the old Silver Cup. A new champion of the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500.
Welcome, Trackside, 1070 The Fan, WFNI, Indianapolis, along with Kurt Cavan from the Indianapolis Star. I'm Kevin Lee. Thad Van Dievender is our studio producer tonight. Matt Hicks, still the associate producer, overseeing all things and making sure it's running smoothly. It is. We thank you for joining us on the program tonight. Thanks to YouTube, barred another cool open. That was from 1995. I'm just kind of randomly going through YouTube, and I heard the beginning of it where Paul Page opens up the ABC broadcast saying something like, racing started 100 years ago. And he's referring actually to 1895, but 100 years ago still somewhat applies.
It's still cool.
Took out a couple of things, and thanks to YouTube for supplying all of those, and we'll continue to do as many of those as time permits throughout the month of May. So if you have suggestions, if you find something on YouTube you like, send me the link, kevin@1070thefan.com, and we will consider that for an open for future Tracksides. Monday through Friday night throughout the month of May, from 7 until 8, Talk of Gasoline Alley and Donald Davidson coming up tonight at 8 o'clock and every weeknight at 8 and weekends from 6 until 8 o'clock. On the show tonight, we have Brian Clausen, who is set to make his Indianapolis Motor Speedway debut in an Indy car next Thursday. He's entered for the 500 with Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing, and it's official today. Kurt made it official a couple of weeks ago at Long Beach, but Townsend Bell will be in the 99 car for Sam Schmidt Motorsports with Pelfrey Racing as well. We'll talk to Townsend about that in a little bit. All right, we'll start with this. We opened the show with this last night. There were a lot of rumors coming around, people sending in questions, but I couldn't find any kind of link. You wrote about this. You must have posted this around midnight or so last night, because I found it on my Twitter feed when I got up this morning going way back. What's going on with Dreyer and Reinbold and Panther Racing?
Well, we knew there was something cooking. We just couldn't figure out the dots to connect. And basically what it is, and it's not going to be announced till at least Monday, for a variety of reasons that I still don't have all the pinpoints to, but I know from talking to people in the series that the two are going to work together. I wouldn't call it it's a partnership. I don't know that I would call it a legal document. But they're going to work together because Dreyer and Reinbold's moving over to Chevrolet, and they need help kind of refitting these cars, getting things, you know, as you've referred to in I believe yesterday's show, they're starting to run together already. Which night we said which?
It was last night. Yeah.
That there is more to it than just strapping in an engine that's of a different ilk. You've got some parts and pieces that you need to refit, and so the two are going to kind of work together. Through this month at least, and I think they will both benefit from the other's experience and looking at things differently. As we've known through this new era of IndyCar racing, is that all the manufacturers seem to be working well within their groups, mm-hmm. and this is just another example of that.
So how would this impact the total number of cars, if at all?
It doesn't change it at all, because Dreyer and Reinbold had Oriel Servia, Panther has Hildebrand. It's not a gain for the series. It's the same number of cars.
So if Jim Campbell's number that he told the Associated Press of 15 is accurate, there is still one more Chevy out there that we would think is still Ed Carpenter's potential second entrance.
If it's going to happen, it's going to happen through Ed Carpenter, I think. And maybe not actually through Ed Carpenter, but I think still the best chance is that it says Ed Carpenter Racing on it. I heard that he wanted it to say Ed Carpenter Racing as opposed to, you know, just kind of assisting with someone. He wanted it to be their entry, even if he didn't actually, their group didn't do the work.
He would have potentially a couple of different options. He could do what Rahal Letterman Lanigan did and release their second engine, because they had two reserved before the season, and that's how Joseph Newgarden and Sarah Fisher Hartman got their engine. Or he could field it. I guess he has three options. Or he could team with someone else.
So I think the option for Jay Howard is still to see if he could strike that deal, or does he end up at Jay Penske's third car if that comes to be. I think that still stands to be the... Maybe not, certainly not the favorite in terms of what Jay would like to do, but I think it's the most likely scenario I see.
So do we know anything else at this point? Any other?
I think we're pretty quiet.
And what are we today. What are we most waiting for? We're waiting to see if John Alesi is going to be fielded by
someone.
HVM. And if anyone is, the report was that they may have $500,000 to $750,000, which, you know, what's the normal number you hear that you could maybe get in for $400,000, something like that?
It's a good number, and I think HVM would certainly look at it, but the question is it, you know, risk versus reward? And
yeah, is crash damage included beyond that?
Correct.
Yeah.
And so You know, I've been hearing that HVM is not going to do it, that they've looked at it and are going to pass. But we've not got a comment from Keith saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suspect it's much the same reason that Newman Haas didn't want to do it either.
If there is a tandem with Ed Carpenter Racing, if that second car gets in some fashion, do we expect it to be Jay Howard, or are there possibly other drivers in the mix?
Well, I think Ed would be reluctant to do it with a lot of people, unless they had some money to bring, and Jay's pretty well exhibited through Michael Shank that he has a sponsorship package of some kind.
Yeah.
It's going to take some money to do it, and I think it's going to take more money to get that Chevrolet from the pot than a lot of other options.
All right, makes sense. Okay, we're going to roll through some Twitter questions coming up in just a bit as well. Send them in tonight. We may not get to them. I tried to get to everything last night, but we'll get to them at some point. The great thing is we're on every weeknight throughout the month of May from 7 until 8. It's at KevinLee23 on Twitter, Kevin@1070thefan.com. As mentioned, in a few minutes, Brian Clausen, Townsend Bell, and Donald Davidson will be here at 8 o'clock. Stay with us. It's Trackside on 1070 The Fan. Month of May is here. We're here every night, Trackside on 1070 The Fan, an hour from 7 until 8. You can find the podcast at 1070thefan.com/trackside or sign up via iTunes as well. There's an app for your Droid or also your iPhone, too. Thanks for being with us tonight. Thad Van Dievender is our studio producer. I'm Kevin Lee, along with Kurt Cavan. And Kurt, he's brought along an assistant with us. Quinn Cavan is joining us in studio. His first appearance on Trackside.
Well, first live appearance. I think, actually, he made a show when you were absent.
Yeah, no, I think he was in one time while I was here. Is that right? Yeah. A couple of years ago.
He can carry the show if need be.
Well, so. We may need that. We may need that. It's a full month every night. We're going to be worn out here shortly, so... An hour of talking is just grueling.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting to be home.
Hard work, heavy lifting involved here.
We barely get warmed up. Then you're into Donald, so.
Yep, that's coming up at 8 o'clock tonight, the talk of Gasoline Alley. Donald Davidson will be here as well. All right, let's go through some tweets. Let's start with some that I didn't get to last night. These are going back the last week or so. Some of them here from the last few days. This is from Saul Stanley. Due to the engine situation, will the track be busy due to lack of oval data or slow to hedge risk on engine failure?
I have real concern about this. I've not yet really asked a lot of teams, but it just stands to reason that if they have a mileage, and they don't really have a mileage limit for this race, so that really shouldn't come into play. But there's not a lot of spare parts and pieces floating around. I think there's enough to do the job. The question is there enough to do the kind of running you would like to do in a normal month? Having said that, it's a pretty short week. I mean, you really have, what, 9 days of opportunity. And, you know, so it's not like it's 14 days. And you're going to get a new engine for Carburation Day and then the race. So you're going to have a new race weekend motor. So maybe the fears aren't so bad.
I would suspect that they go at it like normal. And then if the worst happens, if a lot of engines blow, if it's not raining, if a lot of engines blow or several, and who knows what the definition is of a lot, by the time we get to Monday and Tuesday, and then maybe the engine manufacturers say, hey, we've got concerns here. But until that happens, I would think you would approach it as much money as you have to test. Now, the reality is that some teams have less funding, so they're going to be more conservative with their testing anyways, because it costs for every lap that you do. And I would also think you want to get out there early before everybody starts blowing engines and they potentially say, we need to slow it down. We're running out of engines.
Remember, too, that virtually no one is tested. I mean, you've tested this car the equivalent of about 4 or 5 hours on April 4th, and you've not run an oval race. I mean, you know that the car can do, you know, X number of things, but you've not seen it on an oval, and certainly not in Indianapolis with any kind of testing time.
From Dan Borndecker, it's Son of a Yellow Shirt is his Twitter handle. Says Mexico should be a no-brainer. Huge market, passionate fans, and same time zone. We spoke of that yesterday when we were someone asked about Michael Jourdain Jr. And again, it's one that would make sense, but somebody's got to write the check and organize it and everything else.
You know, you've heard from Randy Bednar when he talks about what kind of approach geographically the series wants to take, and he uses the words North America.
Yeah.
So certainly Mexico is in his radar, and, you know, he's certainly had enough dealings in Mexico through the PBR rodeo series. Bull riding, I should call it. I probably get slapped on the wrist for that one. But, you know, he's had enough contacts in Mexico that he can make it work if indeed there's a promoter to have such a race.
Dan also says, Guy Fieri or Fietti is bigger than Jim Caviezel or Lane Irwin. Get over it. I don't think we have a problem with it. We were just
saying
we think that some of the hardcores, as I said last night, I have no opinion, and just because I don't know who he is does not matter. I'm out of the loop in pop culture. I don't have time to watch television from that sense, so it's fine with me.
And I took a couple negative emails and tweets about it, and that's fine. I don't have a problem either. I think I certainly acknowledge how popular he is and his show is, and, you know, my thought was it was going to receive some pushback from people.
The Airport Squad, Pacers Airport Squad, says it's a matter, if he has a NASCAR background, isn't that good that he's a racing guy, not just a random celebrity who would leave halfway through. I would think so. If he actually...
He's a car guy, certainly.
Yeah, if he actually is going to come and be involved, if he has some knowledge or interest in knowledge, that's all the better.
Well, he's certainly
got... Because there's nothing worse than your pace car driver talking about, and we've seen this before at other events, talking about, oh, it's great to be here at the Formula One race. That doesn't do you a lot of good.
No, but let's bear in mind that he's not taking this because he's tight with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He's taking this because he's tight with Chevrolet,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, has the car and spending the marketing money to do this. And you know, he has a great relationship with Chevrolet, and that's what's important to them.
By the way, Joe Beardsley, who told us last night the pronunciation is Fietti, sent me today a YouTube link where he says his name, and it sounds like he says Fietti. It's kind of a slur, somewhere between Fieri and Fietti, but it sounds like he's saying the proper Italian pronunciation of his name, and it's a little bit of a mixture, but it does sound closer to Fietti, so I see what he's talking about.
Well, as Joe knows, that... my job is to spell it. Your job is to say it.
Yeah. I may just avoid that.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I'll pass that along to somebody else for that interview. Go Chris Universe. I'm a 24-year-old male from L.A. A guy has good energy, huge fan base. What more do people need? Patrick Wright at Apple Chev says he seems like a fine choice, but a little bit of a B-lister. And I mention that because it does bring up something to think of. Are there just fewer stars that everyone knows today? I mentioned I've never heard of him. Many people think of him as a huge star. And I think today's television landscape and multimedia landscape, it's different than the 1950s with movie stars, or even the 1970s and early 80s with three television networks, and then even four. But now there are 700 channels in the universe, and really probably 150 legitimate, big-time mainstream channels. So, for example, Bob Newhart in the 70s, his television show probably drew 20% of the audience, I'm going to say, maybe even more. Now a big-time sitcom, someone can correct me that knows the numbers, I'm going to say draws 7 or 8, 10% of the audience.
Certainly there's fewer A-listers. But it's a lot easier to, through social media, through cable, to be a B-lister.
There are more stars.
Yes.
Yeah, there are more celebrities, but there are fewer that you can just go up to a group of 10 people and George Clooney's one of those that 9 or 10 of 10 people would know who he is.
Yeah.
But, and it's probably more movie stars. That's not necessarily true either, because there are people like me that, not a lot, most people have different lifestyles than I do, but there are people like me that just don't see movies very often. At a certain stage in your life, when you have small kids, things like that, you just don't get out.
Well, a George Clooney of today would be small potatoes compared to a big star in the 50s and 60s. You know, you have, if you were a big star in the 50s and 60s, the guy in Hollywood, you were much greater percentage of people would know who you are even than George Clooney, I think.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, even more so, I'm thinking television stars from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. They were all pretty well household names. Everyone knew them. I think that is...
Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, and, that's, you know, much less Andy the case Griffith. Now with so many different options as far as television is concerned. This is from John, J-S-A-L-E-W-I-C-Z. Could a Penske, Ganassi, or Andretti lease a spare engine, or would that not be allowed to extra teams?
Let's remember one key point, and I think the answer to that is no.
Yeah, no.
But let's remember something else as teams start to weigh the pros and cons of going after this last Chevrolet engine. It doesn't do IndyCar a bit of good to send one of those Lotus teams home. IndyCar needs to keep the Lotus cars, the three of them, which are going to be in the 30s. They may not be 31, 32, and 33, but they're at best going to be 30, 31, and 32. You can't be sending those three Lotuses home.
Keep in mind, it doesn't do Chevy or Honda any good to send them home too and knock them out of the series, because let's say from this standpoint, they know there's three cars they can beat. They're not going to have to worry about being the slowest, and they're also interested in the overall health of the series and the car count. They don't want to have to supply the whole field.
It's 33, three more that they might have to field.
But I'm even talking about moving forward the rest of the season in the series, because if, as we've talked about, if Chevy and Honda wanted to enter 33 cars, there would very likely be zero Lotus cars, and there is a decent likelihood that they would not finish the season, that that program would go kaput immediately. So not only does that mean that they have to field 26 cars the rest of the season, or we go down to 23, and again, they want to be able to not just beat Chevy or Honda, but they want to beat somebody else. They want to beat as many as they can.
Yeah, and they want to be able to say that they beat Lotus. You know, that does carry some weight in the circles they run. And so I agree with you. I just don't see a scenario where we get to 34 unless that extra car is a Lotus. I don't see Honda and Chevy coming up with more than 30 cars between them.
I cut and paste all these Twitter questions.
That means
so
15 each maximum. But I don't see – there's just no way it'll be more than – 15 each for Honda and Chevy, which leaves the three current Lotuses. And if for some reason somebody steps up and accepts John Alesi, that would be four Lotuses.
I don't have the Twitter handle for this, but someone asked or said, I love Jim Nabors to death, but has anyone ever suggested John Mellencamp could sing Back Home Again in Indiana? Hoosier.
That'd be good. I could see some excitement with that song. And, you know, you want Jim
it's
Nabors.
It's going to be a very different style. You know, he doesn't have the pipes that the people that have sung this song, even not including Jim Nabors, have. So it'd be a different song.
Well, I don't know that I have to have John Mellencamp. My point was that somebody else could sing it and sing it a little differently, or add their own kind of style, and I could be good with that.
People don't like change here.
But they don't like
they
change.
They don't like change. I think you can make a case that you're playing the video of this forever. Kate Smith is someone, and I know this because I'm a baseball fan, but I did see someone post this on Twitter or track form or somewhere. They still pipe out Kate Smith singing God Bless America at Yankees games. And she's been gone for a long time. And that's a very big deal to Yankees fans. So
could happen, I suppose. Let's see how this.
I don't know that you have to have. It's a great debate. I'm glad I don't have to make these kind of decisions, but I don't know that you have to replace him.
Hadn't thought about that as a possibility. I think as you go into next week and the video crew, IMS Productions, goes to Hawaii to tape this, I think I would have in mind that this might be the kind of the shining moment and the last chance to really have him on video.
Well, if you're going to put something on, because I'm sure they have it on video from other years.
Well, I suppose you're right.
I'd save one where he's standing up there
on
the
fair.
Victory podium.
That's fair.
Clint Costa, Law Guy 60606, says, is all publicity good publicity? I'm sure he's referring
to the turbo appeal and protest and everything go along with that?
No, the kind of the rule of thumb is that any publicity is good publicity, but it's not. Look at the split. Let's take the split. People talked about that left and right. People don't like controversy in that form. I don't think they like in-house fighting. You know, there is some drama that goes with it. There is some talking points for people at the water cooler. But I would argue that there are some things that are just not good publicity.
All right, we'll get to more archive tweets as time permits as we move on. And I think we may check in with Brian Clausen coming up in just a moment, who is set to test an Indy car at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the first time coming up next Thursday. Stay with us. It's Trackside on 1070 The Fan. It's Trackside on 1070 The Fan with Kurt Cavan of the Indianapolis Star. I'm Kevin Lee. We are less than a week away from Cars on Track at the world's greatest race course. Rookie orientation is coming up next Thursday. It's open to the public, not the normal grandstands, but the way it is for testing. You can go there in the museum stands at the south portion of the facility. And one of those that will get his first taste in an Indy car at the Speedway joins us now, Brian Clausen from Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing. Brian, what since you've been able to make this known and make it official, I think you've known for a month or so, but what has the anticipation been like for the last week or so, just itching to get in the car at the Speedway?
It's been exciting. It's going to be a special month for myself and my family and my friends, and I'm just really excited about getting out there next week and get going. We had the test at Texas, a little while ago, and as excited as I was before that, I'm probably 10 times more excited now. We had a great test down there, and I'm just looking forward to getting out and turning some laps and kind of getting the month started. There's a lot of anticipation, just ready to get out there and get in the car and relax.
Tell us about the test. You told me the other day about the test at Texas. You didn't run quite as long as maybe you thought you might. You must have felt really comfortable very quickly.
Yeah, we ran about 150 miles, and kind of took to it pretty quickly. Really had a good test and ran through a gamut of changes, and got to work with the engineers and then work on some stuff on understanding what different changes did to the car mechanically and aerially, and ran through a bunch of stuff to kind of get us prepared for the month of May, and just got kind of in a rhythm there and had a lot of fun. The big car was a lot of fun to drive, and learning all the technology that is in there compared to the light car was made it nice for me, and excited to put it to use here over the next month.
Noblesville's Brian Clausen is joining us, set to debut this year at the Indianapolis 500. You ran last year at the Speedway in the lights car. You did other oval races in the lights car. How much did that help? How similar was it, or how different was it to the Indy car?
It was quite a bit different, but probably more similar than I really expected it to be. It was a mile and a half with a lot of banking, so I'm sure as we go to the Speedway, a place that has no banking at all, I'm sure the differences will kind of show themselves a little bit more between the two cars. But having that experience from last year at the Freedom 100, is big going into this year. I mean, I think anytime you can turn laps on a racetrack in a similar type of car, it's just going to help you quicken the learning curve throughout the month.
You got this opportunity in part because of Randy Bernard's idea a couple of years ago for the Mazda Road to Indy Scholarship. That got you in the lights car last year, and instead of doing another partial schedule in lights, you have applied it all to the funding for Indianapolis. What's been the reaction as you still compete at many, many USAC races from people? And I think there's been probably a lack of interest in Indianapolis because their feeling, I'm sure, is that's not our type of race anymore. Our people don't get to Indianapolis anymore. Now one of theirs, along with Ed Carpenter, is at Indianapolis. Are you sensing a little more interest? Is there more enthusiasm for the 500?
Yeah, there's a lot of enthusiasm, and really the you know, the whole program has been recepted really well by the short track community. And you know, I think you know, if I had a dollar for every time I heard of you know, I've got a reason to watch the 500 again, or I'm going to go to my first 500 in a long time, I'd have enough money to run the rest of the year. So it's there's a lot of excitement around it, and you know, it's been a lot of fun to still continue racing the short track stuff and be able to see you know, everybody's excitement and how excited the fans at all these short track races are about this opportunity. And it's gonna be a lot of fun. I think you know, it's gonna be big for everybody involved, and hopefully we can go out there and have a solid month and make everybody proud.
Speaking of other races, I saw your boss, Sarah, either quoted or a summary. I just read it real quickly this afternoon, but in Autosport, saying that if this month goes well, there is the possibility of doing other races.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously the big, you know, obstacle there is putting the programs together with the funding and stuff necessary. And, you know, I think this month is step number one. You know, if we could have a good month and go through some, have a good solid month and run like we think we can, I think, you know, possibilities are endless. I think they've got the structure in place to do it. We just have to, you know, work through some of that stuff as we go. And, you know, that was a big, you know, thing I liked about SFHR is from the very beginning, it was, you know, looking into the future, not just about Indy, but continuing to grow the program as the year went on or even into the future. So, you know, it's an exciting time, and I'm really excited about everything they have in place over there. For not only Indy, but you know, hopefully beyond.
One of the things I've been struck by is the relationship that you and Joseph Newgarden have already. It seems like you've been friends for years. This should be a very dynamic pairing to watch, even though you both are trying Indianapolis in a big car for the first time. Just talk about how comfortable you feel with Joseph already.
You know, I feel really comfortable. You know, I think last year having the opportunity to work together all last year on all the ovals was huge. And, you know, being the two Americans on the team last year, we were, you know, automatically kind of drawn to each other. And, you know, he taught me a lot as it came to, you know, driving rear engine cars. And I think, you know, I helped him a little bit in the early stages of testing and on the oval side. So, you know, I think you know, we work really well together, and you know, I think with our mindsets and with the new car, I think you know, we're going to be you know, probably a little bit more surprising than people think.
Brian Clausen is joining us from Noblesville. I read something on your Twitter. You've got an event coming up on Sunday afternoon in Noblesville. What are they doing?
Yeah, we've got an event. The city's you're helping us put on. It's Community Day. Out at the Moose Lodge in Noblesville from 2 to 6. We're gonna have all kinds of stuff going on. We're gonna go out there. We got a car show. We're gonna do some autographs. Have all kinds of stuff. I'm gonna be getting in a dunk tank at one point in the day. So, there's all kinds of fun stuff going on. And, you know, there's a lot of people and a lot of, you know, people throughout the community that helped me get to this point. You know, from the schooling that worked with us through the early parts of my career to let me continue my education there, to people throughout the community that have helped on the racing side, and it's just kind of a way to give back and enjoy the Sunday before this craziness kicks off.
Are you in a car this weekend?
I'm in a car this weekend. I'm in Dodge City, Kansas, actually, right.
Oh, okay.
Now, and we're racing tonight and tomorrow out here in some midgets, and we have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, I should have known you're in a car somewhere.
Of course he is.
I should have asked, how many races are you doing this weekend? Just one?
Just two.
Just two, okay.
One. Yeah, he's doing one car twice. Is that correct?
Yeah, one tonight and one tomorrow.
All right, I follow your efforts on Twitter. From your site is what?
My Twitter is at Brian Clausen. My website is www.brianclausen.com.
And then there's somebody, though, that tweets during the race that gives updates.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Clausen, Inc.?
At Brian Clausen, Inc.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. We like that. We like to find out what's going on. All right, Brian, we're all happy for you. I know it's been done for a little while, but our first chance to talk to you publicly on that. We'll see you out at the track next Thursday, and then with everybody coming up on Saturday.
I can't wait.
He'll be in the number 39 car for Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing, the same number that he fields most of the time in the USAC ranks as well. Two-time USAC national champion, Brian Clausen. All right, stay with us. Coming up in a moment, another driver looking forward to getting back on the track at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He's been there before. He's finished as high as fourth, started fourth last year. Townsend Bell's deal is official, and we'll visit with my co-worker from NBC Sports Network coming up next here on Trackside on 1070 The Fan. Trackside continues, 1070 The Fan with Kurt Cavan of the Indianapolis Star. I'm Kevin Lee. Another deal is now official. I think yesterday maybe just a couple of reports, but I saw the release come out from IndyCar today, so we can now say it. NBC Sports Network will have a representative in the Indianapolis 500 for the entry list, and Townsend Bell will be in the 99 car for Sam Schmidt Motorsports with Pelfrey Racing as well. And Townsend joins us now. Townsend, congratulations. It's official. We can talk about it now.
Well, thank you. I don't know if it was a closely guarded secret. Kurt seemed to have sussed that out weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, that was real good investigative work.
We are we're really excited. Great to be running Honda at the Speedway and back with Sam for a third year. Got a great sponsor, Braun Ability, which is the premier handicap lift and ramp company, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a blast.
And most importantly, you know, everybody wants to be involved in the 500. It's something that Jay Howard's talking about now, and he said, you know, I'll take a Lotus if I have to take a Lotus because I just want to be involved. So you get that, and you get a chance to be competitive and run up at the front because it's a team you're familiar with, and you've got a Honda engine.
Yep, it's, hopefully like slipping on old shoes, although in this case this is a brand-new set of shoes, and luckily, thanks to NBC, we were able to do the little piece out in Texas, and I was able to get a sample for the new car, and I think that'll help to just speed up the process of getting acclimated again. But I'm looking forward to it. It should be a great month of May and very competitive, and all the drama of having three engine manufacturers and all that comes with that. So can't wait to get out there.
You know, it's kind of weird. I've was just thinking about it as you were talking. There were a few years ago, and I can remember us talking about how difficult it was for you to get the ride you wanted. And it's now like your status has been elevated into, you know, you're the ringer coming in and really going to excel in Indianapolis. And people are, you're a hot commodity now. And it's taken so, kind of not so long. I don't mean it like that, but it's just funny how kind of the perception has changed.
Well, appreciate that, Kurt. I don't know that I would categorize myself as a hot commodity, but I am really thankful that Sam reached out, with a great program and asked me to steer this thing around. And his team, obviously this year, I think they're fifth in points now. They were third after Long Beach, and as a one car team. With everything he's got going on, it just continues to blow me away. It just blows me away how smart, clever, aggressive he is about putting great opportunities out there, great programs out there at the Speedway, and this sure seems like another great one.
I think you are a commodity. There are drivers out there that have funding that are still looking for deals. So how fortunate do you feel? This is a year when there are going to be six or seven that – in other years, you would think would have a deal, but don't. What is the emotion of knowing that now you at least have a chance?
Well, it's funny because when you're in the business of driving, you have to be cognizant of the marketplace around you. And so when Sam called and said, "Hey, I've just got this deal together with Braun, you know, it's a new thing we're doing, and you know, we've got the funding to put the car on the track." You think to yourself, okay, well, nobody's really offering me that situation, and I know how many good guys are out there without rides. You know, you sort of keep, you keep that in the back of your head, almost like how many bullets are still in the revolver in terms of, guys like Thomas or Bruno or, I'm trying to think who else.
Vitor,
experienced guys that could do a great job at Indy, and frankly, I wish they were all there because it makes it, that much more fun. competing, and so you kind of got to jump. You know, you can't sit around and debate it too long. If there's a good opportunity and you're the chosen one, you know, there's not much of a marketplace for drivers right now, as we know. So, you know, you kind of got to just suck it up and make a decision. And it didn't take me long to say yes.
Kevin and I have talked a lot about it, I suppose, but let's go back to last May and really, Sam, you were talking about earlier, and that's why I want to hit on it a little bit more. Sam has really developed this program into something that's quite remarkable given the size of his group. What he did last year in taking the right approach, and talk about just last May. What a special month for Sam.
Oh, it was incredible. It was incredible. You know, we had great equipment, great people, and you know, that's really at the end of the day, you hear it all the time. But in Sam's case, he's got a great team of people, led by Rob Edwards, who does a phenomenal job, you know, getting all the right people there. And that's the neat thing about this deal is yesterday I was in Indy making my seat, and you look around, it's all the same faces I've seen over the last couple of years, and there's a lot of consistency with personnel there. But last year was awesome. I mean, to be on the pole with Alex was super exciting, and I qualified fourth. We almost made the front row there. And we were fast, we were competitive, and ultimately we were hugely disappointed on race day because I ended up in the fence and was a legitimate candidate to win the race. And so, you know, we're coming back hopefully a little bit smarter and just try to piece it all together one time.
It had always been said that one-offs couldn't win this race. We know Al Unser didn't in 87, although I think he ended up doing some other races that season. But with what happened last year, a one-off can win this race, and it happened to be a team that was making their second start in an IndyCar race. Does that help fuel your spirit a little bit, too?
No doubt. And there was, even though I had, you know, my day end in a way that was, you know, a huge bummer. At the same time, it was so cool to see Dan win because, you know, at the end of the day, we were really teammates last year.
Yeah.
We all worked together. We did all our debriefs together. We were all huddled down really as a three-car team. And, you know, Brian, and his whole team had worked really hard. I was stoked for those guys, for William Rast, which is, you know, still a company I'm very close with. And it was a lot of fun to see that. But more than anything, I think what I take from it, Kurt, is I think a lot about, you know, I don't think a day goes by that I don't think about Dan, in many contexts. But as I get ready for Indy, I think a lot about his record there and how he raced that race, you know, all the way through and where he was better than I was. And what can I learn from that, you know? And, cause every year it seemed like I was racing with Dan the last few years, but, you know, he'd finish second again. I'd be fourth or 10th or 16th with a penalty or last year in the fence. And it's like, I know I can piece it together, but how can I learn the last little bit I need to win the race? And I think I'm so thankful to have spent time with Dan closely last year to try to learn as much as I can. Hopefully do him proud.
We've got a lot of hours to fill on the NBC Sports Network for both qualifying days. Are you totally done with TV for the month? Or are you going to try to hang around and come over and chat on occasion?
Well, yesterday I had my very cool NBC Sports fanny pack on as I was molding my seat so that I can actually cover both jobs in the race. No, I don't know. I think, you know, as long as it rains like it normally does, I'll be bored and looking for stuff to do and trying to keep people entertained. So we'll see. I'm game for just about anything these days.
Here's what you need to happen. You qualify very early on Saturday, and
yep.
If all goes well, you go back out again late on Saturday afternoon for a spot up in the front three rows. And then you're clear, you get in, you do a little bit of testing on Sunday, and then you walk around. I think you're going to send me to different spots around the track on Sunday. If there's not a lot happening, we're just going to explore the ground. So you can
do it.
You can be my guide for that. And by the way, Kurt, Townsend, within two races as a TV reporter, came up with a new invention that I still haven't implemented yet, but it's on my plans. You know how I always carry all these notes and everything around and usually drop them and lose them? Tell them what you did, Townsend.
Well, I was so hopeless at doing through the field the first time because I got to be honest, I came to that first production meeting, and I walk in, and I look around, there's Marty and you, and everybody's got notes and pencils and all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, God, it's like a real reporter's job. There's no way I'm going to write anything down. You know, I'll just freestyle it, which is pretty much how I do most things. And, of course, it was working okay up until the through-the-field segment, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me, you know, I need to write something down or have some notes. But I don't like paper. I'm a minimalist. I don't like stuff in my pocket. So I've come up with the, you know, the Tim Tebow armband with the Velcro laminated playbook, you know, flap. So that's my innovation for IndyCar this year.
I thought that was brilliant.
I like that.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, Townsend, you're a pretty good race car driver, and you've shown very well at Indianapolis. I've written that more than I probably care to admit. You're an even better on TV. You're terrific. I'd listen to you most of the time, so you can have them just push Kevin's button quiet, and then you do the talking.
That's fine. We get paid the same, no matter how much we say.
It's fun. You know, I didn't know what to expect when they called me and said, what do you think? And I, you know, at first I thought I was going to be in the booth, and I'm like, oh, I've done that before. That'd be cool. And they're like, no, you're going to be a pit reporter. And it's like, ooh, I don't know about that. But I'm so passionate about the sport. It's like, it's almost become sort of like therapy to have an outlet to, you know, share feelings and opinions and passion, for something that I've, you know, it's been a love affair since I was 10 years old. So the fact that somebody's going to pay me to share my mind is great. And if people enjoy it, I'm thrilled. And if I can even get people a little ruffled, I think that's good for the broadcast too. It's, you know, it's a lot of fun. It really is.
Pelfrey is also listed as a co-entrant on your effort. What's the relationship there?
Yeah, that was a surprise. You never know with Sam. It's like, you know, you might see Schmidt Timberlake or something as a third entry. But Dale's a really neat guy. I got to know him a little bit last year, and he obviously has, a Star Mazda team, and I'm not quite sure. Does he have something in Indy Lights? I don't even know. But
I think he has.
And fielded an IndyCar back in the day.
Yeah.
He's a really cool guy. He's got an interesting background. And frankly, I think last year I just saw him briefly. I don't even know if it was on race day, but he's kind of like the shadow lurking back there. But I'm glad he's been involved again.
Yeah, he's a really smart guy and has always done a lot without a great deal compared to others around him. And that, yeah, you're right. Getting back to Sam, that's a good way of putting it. You're just never quite sure. And even guys on the team that, like Rob Edwards, said, well, you know, here's the plan. But, of course, there's always Sam's plan. And you wait and see what that looks like when the day's done.
That's right.
Well, the most important thing is it's official and you're in.
It's official and we're in. And I do need to throw a shout-out for anybody that might have a private jet in Northern California next Saturday heading east. I do need a ride because I'm racing at Laguna Seca in the 6-hour endurance race on the 12th, and so I missed the first day of practice. So I'm hitchhiking desperately to see if anybody can hook me up going out east. So if you guys, I don't know, Kevin, I think your Gulfstream's down for service, isn't it?
It is. It's going to be parked for the month, I believe.
Okay.
Well, we'll put it out there, and the listeners will put it on Twitter, and we'll find out if anybody else is going to be. There's got to be somebody coming from that event to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
There are a couple of IndyCar teams. What about Ray Hall's team? Maybe you can hook up with them. They have a presence, and they'll be coming back over here.
That's true. Bobby, we did get invited to that little barbecue.
Yeah, so, we're best buddies.
We can go air Bobby.
To the barbecue.
Yeah, they invited the TV crew over to a barbecue. Bobby, Ray Hall, how cool is this? This is one of the perks of the job, that a 500 winner cooks our dinner, and it was very good.
Yes, it was delicious. It was really good.
The problem is now that Graham controls the plane, so
okay.
you may have to go through him.
All right.
Well, he's a generous guy.
Yeah, that's right. Townsend Bell will be in the 99 car for the month of May. Always good to visit with you. We'll see you when you get here, hopefully Saturday evening, Sunday, and hopefully it's not going through an actual airport.
I'll definitely be there Sunday morning, and I'll probably be looking like Nick Nolte after a rough night in Malibu, but I'll be ready to go.
All right, good to talk to you, Townsend. Congrats.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, stay with us. A couple more things in just a moment, and then the talk of Gasoline Alley with Donald Davidson. Coming up on 1070 The Fan. right, still time to roll through a few more archived Twitter questions or just simply comments. And this one would be more of a public service announcement from at Mid-Am Speedway, Mid-America Speedway. Invites us to come out to Mid-America Speedway tomorrow for opening night racing from 7 until 10, dirt track motor style racing. Jordan Click, JJ Click 17, says, planning on listening to Trackside podcast during the mini. A keep it up, Jordan, would be appreciated.
Keep it up, Jordan.
There you go. So at this point, if you started with this one, you should be on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. When you subtract the commercials, you know, we're probably, what, 44, 45 minutes, and well, you may not be there yet. Yeah, you'd have to be running at a pretty decent clip to get there. It's usually about the hour.
Jordan.
Maybe Jordan's really fast.
He's extending his strides as we speak.
If you're of Kenyan descent, you have already made it back to 10th Street.
Giddy up.
Those guys,
go,
are,
Jordan,
those guys
go.
Are fast.
Pedal
let's
faster.
See. Eric Jordan, Eric3J, says, I want to buy a ticket to Milwaukee and donate it to an armed forces member. Do they have a program in place for this? They should. Do not know. That's why I mentioned it. So if anyone does, you might tweet that same thing to, is it at Milwaukee Indy Fest? Something along those lines. Do a search. Just search Milwaukee Indy Fest on Twitter. Do a Google search for that, and it will find you that Twitter handle for it. Or it should be pretty easy to find. The Andretti Twitter site, if you ask them the question what it is, they could be able to get that done for you. But that's a great idea. From Saul Stanley, any plans by IMS to play audio clip from Tom Carnegie at Pole Day again this year, like last year? What a wonderful touch. Maybe. I do not know.
Don't know if that's in the plans, but as you've got it now, everybody who can't be there will be played on the... We got Jim Nabors singing a song. We got Tom Carnegie on the...
See, I probably should stay away from that because they're not going to need people like me.
No, they're not.
They're just going to, you know, play Sid Collins and play Carnegie and Jim Phillippe, and then you just don't... We don't need current people.
I take Jerry Baker every year.
And it could almost be like, do you remember the project that Dave Wilson put together, the Fantasy 500 about 10 years ago or so? And they actually did need bodies for that. People like me and Chris Denari and Vince Welch came in and recreated some of the make-believe scenes, but then he took actual audio from previous 500s to describe things. Cool.
Very
project.
Cool.
It's probably
very
still
cool.
Available somewhere if you do a Google search for that as well. This is from Bill Van Divner at Van Yuhas. Can you guys mention the parties for an out-of-towner during the 500? Been coming for years, but have never done a party. Ironic, I really haven't either, I don't think. But there's the yellow party. What's that, Thursday night?
That would be Thursday night, Carb Night Burger Bash on Friday. And I can tell you that if you're at IndyStar.com, certainly beginning Thursday and through the rest of the month, I'm sure it's already there anyway, but when the track opens, we have a very comprehensive list of activities in the Indy 500 section.
If someone has compiled a list of all of the events, you know, I know there's something usually race week in Broad Ripple. There's the big thing they're doing at the Lucas Mansion, the former Hilbert Mansion, on, I think, Friday night as well. But I would follow Kathy Keitlinger on Twitter. She is the social reporter for the Indianapolis Star. It's at C. Keitlinger. C. Keitlinger, and she goes to the parties and usually has a pretty good sense of those. So, all right, didn't get to all the tweets. Still trying to go back a couple of weeks, but we'll be back again five nights next week, Monday night at 7 o'clock as well, and should have podcasts for all these episodes too. Thanks to our guests tonight, Brian Clausen and Townsend Bell. We'll talk to you Monday night at 7, and stand by and call in now, 239-1070. Donald Davidson is here for the talk of Gasoline Alley. It's up next on 1070 The Fan.